Well, I sure would appreciate your prayers tonight. I might write something on the board. I put cut flower syndrome on the board. And by the help of the Lord, I'd like to look into it a little bit. And I'd like to start with John, the 15th chapter. And I do desire prayers. I would think of this as a where art thou message. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn and are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I think this is so important in our Christian life because I can endeavor to accomplish a lot of things. And it's good to have goals and desires for the things that we have passions and care about. But it seems to me like that the responsibility that the Lord puts on us is to abide in him. We can try in all kind of ways and human ways and desires and everything to try to accomplish things, and we can have good goals and good intentions and all of those things, but the Lord said, abide in me. And without me, you can do nothing. And so there's definitely a limitation, but I find that the connection before the Lord, first, make the connection, keep the connection, then the other thing seems to fall in line because there's the right passions in the right place, and it brings the right thing, and it tempers me. It tempers me. I'll say this. I used to say it a lot back when I was first saved. Getting saved just made me a whole lot smarter. It just made me smarter. I just almost immediately could recognize that I'm smarter than I used to be. Well, for one thing, it drew me away from things that wasn't intelligent and wasn't wisdom and wasn't worth anything, and it pointed me towards... I never really had much desire to read and to understand and do those things until I got saved. And then when I got saved, it was almost like the whole thing opened up to me. I wanted it. I actually learned how to do it. I never even could, and I still ain't a very good speller, but I'm amazed sometimes when I'm writing how I spell things and go on. How did I ever learn that? I didn't know, but I had an interest in, I just become smarter because the Lord, because I got saved. But the connection with the Lord was first. I made a connection, and then it was driving my passions, my desires, and what I was becoming. What I'd like for you to do tonight, if you want to go along with the little exercise here, I'd like to paint a picture to me. I'd draw it on the board if I had the right color crayons. Well, I guess there's some in there, but I'd like to just paint it in your mind. It'd be easier. imagine a big bouquet of long-stemmed, fresh-cut red roses. You imagine what kind of pretty vase you want it in, but I want you to imagine that tonight. That's beautiful, right? I mean, I buy my wife flowers sometimes because she likes flowers, and they're very decorative and beautiful, and they smell good. I mean, you can smell the fragrance from them, and they smell really good. But I want to ask you something. I mean, that's a blessing, and the Bible speaks of the lilies of the valleys and the rose of Sharon, and it uses flowers as an example, and we all know the beauty of flowers. But in nature, what is a flower for? You ever think of that? I love the garden. I love plants, and so it's interesting to me. Is a flower just to look at? I mean, in nature. I mean, to the plant. Well, there's something more in there. I mean, there is something more to a flower. I planted some years ago. I planted some morning glories by my house, and I made a trellis to go up and over the door. And the morning glories grew, and it had morning glories on it, and it's exactly what I had in mind. And I really had in mind the morning glories and the beauty of the morning glories. They're a purple hue with bluish purple hued flower, and they will draw up in the sun and open up, and they're very beautiful to look at. But the flower's got a particular point. I mean, there's some reason for the flower. And it's not just to look at. But the flower has a dynamic to it. There's a reason for that flower, and the flower draws insects for pollination. The aroma is not for no reason. I mean, our apple tree blossoms, and it has this aroma. You can smell it for quite a ways off when the wind's blowing, right? And it draws the right kind of pollinators. There's bees and things working this, and the morning glories, I see a bee going in and out of this one, in and out of this one, in and out of this one. And ultimately, the reason for that is because at some time that flower is going to fade. And it's going to fall off. And what's left there is a pod. And that was the intention. It had a purpose. It had a purpose beyond the flower. It's just not a flower, but it goes beyond the flower. So I wrote on the board this phrase that I heard. It's a cut flower syndrome. Flowers are beautiful. And you can take those flowers and arrange them and make all kind of beautiful things about them. But I have another question for you. When you cut the flower off and put it in the vase, is it alive or dead? Is it alive or dead? Huh? You're right, Brother Ed. It's not dead. It's not dead. It's actually alive because people that fool with them, they still draw water. They still have active functions in them. I mean, you can get a rose that's just budded. And if you just, you put it in water and put it in, it'll flower out. We've had them, what, for weeks? I don't know, maybe not weeks, for days anyway, get flowers. And they are, I mean, if there was some way to attach them, I guess, but... But they still pulsate, they still draw, there's life in there. Do you know that flower will never complete the function that it was meant to do? It will never complete the operation. We went up to Maine a couple of years, and we was up there, and along the roads up there in one place there was these wild roses that grew there, and some of them were still the roses. It was very beautiful. There was roses, but some of them had been turned. It was late in the year, up in September, and so some of them had already went beyond that, and there was these fruit there. I kept seeing these orange, big orange fruit. I mean, almost quarter-sized fruit, and I kept seeing those fruit there, and I said, you know what? I want to try those. I mean, I want to eat some. And actually, Brother Ivan, I thought of you, honestly. I thought of Brother Ivan. I thought if he was here, we'd eat them together because he would eat those. And I want to eat those. And I stopped, and I started picking those. Those were delicious. Do they call those rose hips? I don't know. But the idea wasn't, the idea is not that that rose ends up with just a rose and that's it. See what happened with my vine, my morning glory vine? It produced a pod. And inside that pod, once fall came, it opened up. And there was all kind of seeds always falls off of there and falls off. I planted these years ago, and the trellis is still there, and every year, morning glories come up from the seeds, and they go up the trellis, and they make another flower, and the flower was for a reason, and it wasn't just to look at. It was for the fruit of it. It was for the life of it. There was something more than that. So I have a challenge for you tonight, because flowers are beautiful. But is it possible? Is it possible for a person? Or is it possible for a group of people to be like cut flowers? They're alive. I can attest to it. Everybody can see that there's some life in them. But you know where they got the life from? They got the life from the right source. They were produced by the plant. But there was a goal. There was a goal that never was fulfilled. It never come to fruition. It never done what it actually was supposed to do. Beautiful, smelly, all of those things. I would like to think that in the years that I've served the Lord, that I have gained some graces. I would like to think that I was saying I'm smarter than I used to be. I think that in some ways I've learned how to control my temper. I've learned how to do things better. I carry myself better. I'm not the same person that I used to be. But you know, it's possible to maintain those and keep those things and never ever fulfill what God intended us to fulfill. And I can't help from looking at the world around us sometimes. This is not a condemnation of the church or you or anybody. It's a wonderment that I have sometimes. Is it possible for us to have took those things in and learned from those things and been those things, but we have become disconnected from the vine? And this actual term actually means, from where I heard it anyway, there's other terms, other definitions for it. From where I heard it, this from, what it meant was, is people that was in an organization that lost the meaning of the organization. They're still in the organization. The organization was started with a goal in mind, with something they was going to accomplish, and the organization still exists, and they're still in the organization. They still have the name. They show themselves, but they never fulfill what the organization started off to believe and what they wanted to fulfill, the goal of it at the end of it. It is impossible that I can be a religious person and alive, but never fulfill what God intended for me to fulfill. Never really ever get to the place to really say, Lord, what is this all about? Is this all about? I thank God for the camp meetings and the encouragement and everything. And I think it's a part of a lively thing. But is this all that we're supposed to? Is there a world out there? Is there some? What is Christ's passion? I'm not going to answer it for you. But what is Christ's passion? What was Christ's desire? I'll tell you this of Christ. He was not a cut flower. He flowered, he blossomed, he bloomed, he had his time of honor, he had all of those things, and there would come a time that the petals fell off, and it didn't look like it used to look, but he wasn't cut. He went all the way until the seeds was produced. He produced the gospel seed. He produced what he had went to do. He never lost the message or the desire. He never lost what he had come to this earth for. He come to make a sacrifice and save us, and he was going to establish us, and he done it. He went all the way to do it, no matter how ugly, no matter what. He never lost the mission. So it's a real challenge to me, because I think of those fruit up along the road, Upper Broad, and they was good. You'd have liked them. They had a lot of seed in them, but they had a good taste to them. And I think of that and said, that was what the flowers were for. That was the ultimate end of this plant. It was for its survival. It was for its lasting. What are we supposed to be in 2025? You know what he says? He says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you get hooked with me, don't be a cut flower. Because you can think that you've arrived. You can think now, listen, for a lot of you here, this is generational. We know what it's about. It's generational. We know how to dress. We know how to walk. We know how to do these things. We know what to do. We're Church of God. We're generational in this. But is it possible? Is it possible to be a cut flower? Is it possible to just go through and learn the graces and be taught that from a child and know how I'm supposed to dress and know what I'm supposed to do? And I know that you all won't accept bad behavior, and I know how to do it, and I know how to do these things. And yet, what about me really being hooked? What about me going beyond what your eyes dictate of me or what I feel like? What about actually getting to the place that it says, my life needs to please you, Lord? Where is the sacrifice that I make for that? Where do I give for this? What am I supposed to do for this? There's a whole world of loss out there. There's people starving to death. There's people to be touched. There's people to do reach. There's all these kind of things. And are we a flower in a vase? We look good. We smell good. We're a Church of God. We're a holy, we look the whole thing, but the ultimate of those flowers, I have never had a flower. I bought my wife a lot of flowers, and I've never had a flower go to seed from a vase. I've never had one make a rose hip from a flower. They're just not going to get there. They don't have what it takes. They're alive yet, and that's the emphasis of my thought today. They're alive. How can you tell the difference? How can you know? How can you really know they're alive? But how long? You remember when Amos said, and the Lord said, Amos, what do you see? What seest thou, Amos? He said, I see a basket of summer fruit. And what summer fruit is? It's the end of the season fruit. But there's an idea that belongs with it. It's still good fruit. He didn't say that it was rotten and going away fruit. He was making a suggestion. You're right at the end. If you're going to use this fruit, you better hurry and use it. There's not much left of it. And if you don't use it, the only thing you're going to be able to do is go toss it away. So he warned Israel is like the summer fruit. It's still good. But you're close. But you're close in your life. I said this is kind of a where art thou message. Because I think it takes a lot of deep introspection to see a place like this. I feel like I'm alive. I do the things. But here's the deal. And only you can answer. Am I really connected to the Lord? Is my life a form? Or am I really connected? Do I make a pretty picture? And I'm criticizing anybody. I hope you get this. It's not in the spirit rough. I want you to understand this. You can sing songs, but you got to be connected. You can do the functions. But if you're not connected, you're never going to do that. You're never going to be you're never going to get the fruit at the end of it. You're never really going to get to what the Lord wants you to be and do, and what you're going to end up doing. And many, many, many have. And Lord help us. Many, many, many have. They got to the place of the cut. There was a cut flower, and they went on like a cut flower. And then when they start diminishing, fruit wasn't forming. There's a place there where it gets that late and the fruit's forming. Now the flower's dying, but the fruit's not forming. And where does it end up? It ended up withered away. Withered away with nothing else. And we've seen this over and over. And we even scratched our head and said, what happened to some of the most dynamic preachers? What has happened to some of the people that had insight and wrote articles and wrote songs and had an experience and a strong high testimony, and they had these things, and how did they, men that's much smarter, better, more gifted than I am, and they lost it? Did they wake up one day and not have it? Or was a good section, a state of being? It's a state of being in the Christian religion. To lose the contact of the Lord and not even realize it. Not have that real contact with the Lord and be severed and cut off, and I don't see much difference. I there still are some aroma. I'm still pretty color. The stem's still strong. But there's nothing giving it any more life. There's some substitute. I don't know if it is true. Some of you flower people might be able to say it. Some people say put an aspirin in the water. Some put this in the water or something can make them last longer. There is things. Florists do this. They're good at it a lot better now than they used to be. They can make, you go to Walmart and get flowers that have been there quite a while. They know what to do and keep this syndrome down, to keep this position. But they will never come to what the plan really was. The plan was to come to a certain point in a certain place. The Apostle Paul demonstrates this so well after all that he went through and all that he done. He wasn't a cut flower. He wasn't a pretend. He wasn't a cut flower. There was those that around him that were, but it wasn't him. And he comes down to the end of it. You read it in 2 Timothy. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. After all that, the flowers faded. I'm not young anymore. I can't do what I used to. The flowers faded. But the real fruit's starting to show. I got something to give here. Lord, I'm ready. It's produced in me all the way. All the way. The desire. I speak for myself. I've done this a few years. I got tired. I get tired. It's harder. It's difficult. I have to challenge myself. Am I a cut flower? Why don't I have a passion? I can't come to the end of this without a passion after all of this. Can I? Well, I can. But it's going to be like a cut flower. It's not going to be real. I have to say, Lord, help me here to this. Because that passion that I used to want to reach a track out or go out to, you know, Brother Ivan, you remember the old days of door-to-door, but going with the tent meeting and all. Well, you might say, well, you wasn't very successful. Well, we were successful for us. It was good for us, wasn't it, brother? It was a blessing to be able to do it. I enjoyed it immensely, and the Lord blessed us of doing it. And I had a passion and a desire for it. Where is that? I'm not saying anybody's supposed to be missionary. I don't know what you're supposed to be, but you're supposed to be something. And God's got something in mind other than a flower in a vase. It's supposed to produce more than that. That's the pretty side. That's the fragrant side. That's the visual side. But you got, there's something more than that. There's a passion. There's a desire. And the Lord Jesus said He wants us to pattern ourselves after Him and go after Him. And our desire should be His desire. And His desire was when He looked and the woman come back from the woman at the well. You remember, and she come back and the Lord spoke to His disciples and they was confused about what the Lord had done. And I got meat you don't know about. You remember, and He looked and said, the fields are white. The harvest, don't you understand? Don't you understand that it's more than meat and drink? It's more than the food that you went and bought. Lay it down for a while. There's souls. There's a cause of God. I challenge myself sometimes. Lord, help me. But I challenge myself sometimes, the way I'm feeling and the lesser desire that I have to go, that, am I just a flower? This cut? What happened to that desire and passion? I don't want to be a casualty. And I see the casualties coming, and I think there's a state of being in the Christian church. This is the cut flower syndrome, to where the very power and the things that made us what we was, that made us that, we forgot the roots. We've been cut from the roots, and we forgot what the whole thing was really all about. You know, when I first got saved, as ignorant as I was, and you would roam far and long to find somebody that knew less about me. But you know one thing I had? I wanted to tell somebody about it. I wanted to share what God done for me. I didn't know enough to be wise about it. But I tell you what, I'd go to work and I had Brother Harlan Church of God tapes, you know, the tapes he put out. I had them singing. And I had a few songs that I really liked. And I'd put them there and I'd play them up until that song was ready. Ain't like today, you just pointed, you had to get ready. And I got it right to that spot on the tape. And then I'd turn it, I'd pull it out. And then I'd drive along asking the Lord, where's the guy at? Where's the hitchhiker? I'm going to find somebody. And over I'd see somebody. Oh, there's somebody. And just about the time, I hope you don't think this is deceiving, but wise as serpent steals, right? That's the way I just ready to do it. And I punch it in just about the time I'm starting to hit the brakes. And so when he opens the door, he gets a good dose of singing. And what's he going to say? Hey, what's that singing here? And I get to tell about it. And it was a passion. It was a desire. You know, that was the Lord. That was the Lord's heart. I wonder if the Lord would go along and not tell, if he got in there, he wouldn't say something to him, encourage him or help him. Oh, and I think about it. You know, there were some real times there. I was going along one time and I was praying, Lord, give me somebody to ride with me. I'm going back home. I had to drive a ways and give me something. And I was coming through a place called Cowan. I had to go to Webster Springs and then turn back towards Green Bank. And I was coming through a place, Cowan, and I looked and I seen this guy. And I recognized him. He's a little bit younger than me, but I recognized him. He was a rock and roller. Now, I've just not been saved long. And he was a hard rock guitar player. I recognized him right off. And I was like, oh, well, here's a chance. Here we go. Anyway, I picked him up and was going along in a few words. And I said, hey, you're so-and-so, right? He's, yeah. And I said, well, okay. And got a little bit farther and I said I was over somewhere, and he said, what did you doing over there? And I said, oh, I was coming back from church here on Sunday. He said, you go to church? And I said, yeah. He said, thank God. He said, I just got saved a couple weeks ago, and I was going through here, and I was praying, God, send me somebody, pick me up. It wasn't one of them old buddies, one of them old guys that I was doing pot with and drinking with and playing music with. Give me somebody, and you're come by. I think God wants us to be more than a flower in a vase. I think God's got some purposes and idea. And you know what? I really feel this. I feel like what slows it down, and it isn't bringing shame to know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what slows it down is we don't have our heart and mind on it. We don't have it. Lord, help us not to be, to give us the real life. I know there's a life in that flower, but it's short. And it's never going to produce. It's never, ever, ever going to produce anything. And the danger of that is to come to the end, and I don't care anymore. And there's nothing else left. And what happened to all of the joy? I'm telling you, those roses are joy while they're there, but they start wilting. And now where's the joy? We never leave a bunch of wilted roses in our vases sitting on the table for years and petals falling off. And no, they discarded because they're no good anymore. They don't bring anything anymore. Those roses, there's joy and there's beauty in it and all of those things there. But as it's cut off, it's going to die more and more and more. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I've seen grumpy old men. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I don't want that to be the end of my life. Now, I know he's got some family here. But I used to tell Brother Purvis this. I really admired him. And he was an inspiration for me. And I had a high appreciation for the man. I told him one day, and he'd get his cup, and he had Parkinson's, and he would do this. And I told him one day, I said, Brother Purvis, I said, I want to tell you this sincerely. I really admire you. And I've always looked at you as the old man that I want to be. I want to be like you. As I get old, I want to be like you. And he just said, Brother Marty, how could you possibly do that? Because you're a man of integrity, that's why. Because you can look and you're an honorable and you're a man of integrity. I don't believe that he was a flower cut for the vase. I believe that he showed fruit all the way to the end of his life. He showed it. Yeah, the flower faded. Yeah, there wasn't the same things that you would see there, but the reality was there. The real fruit was there, and it stayed there. It couldn't be took away. So there's a man in the scriptures named Stephen. We all know the story of Stephen. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, and he preached a powerful message to them, and they started railing on him and snatching their teeth. They started stoning him to death. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where you can dry up and wither fast. Here's where you can show where the years have brought you to, right? This is where it's really at. And he said, Father, don't lay this to their charge. What grace! What grace! See, it was supposed to be more than just a visual thing that was done. It's supposed to be some reality. It's more than just talking, folks. It's more than just talking. I am absolutely 100% opposed to just demonstration. I don't pump up demonstration. I don't try to get people demonstrative. I don't try to do it. I want them to be hooked to the Lord. Be hooked to the Lord and have something bubbling up that you say, praise God, he's so good to me. Because the flower in the vase is the praise to God without it. So Lord, help us. I think about, in my mind many times, I think about those that have went before us. And many of the songwriters of our book, you've heard this many times, but there are songwriters in our book that penned wonderful expressions of an experience that they had. I can't help from believing when I've seen had the same experience and know the authority they wrote that with, I know that they had to have an experience because they couldn't have done it that way without it. They had to have had that an understanding to be able to do it, or I would assume that they do. And yet, somehow, some of those people that was much more gifted than I'll ever be, somehow at the end of their life, they failed. They fell away. They didn't have the testimony, I think it's been said, 409. 409 was... and. Powerful song. Some of the words of that song are just chilling. I think of the expression when time and eternity meet. Things like that and the crashing of the ages. Oh, that's so vivid to my mind of coming into judgment and all of it coming in there and the power of those words. What happened to the man? What happened to the man? Was he made wise by the Spirit of the Lord? Did he learn the things of God and have the understanding of that and then become a flower and a vase? Become a cut flower? And did the ultimate goal of his life ever get filled or fulfilled, I should say? Well, it's a question. But this is what we know. Something happened, and I don't want it to happen to me. Something happened there. He did something. And it is impossible to believe that he followed John 15 and was hooked to the vine. Somewhere along the line, he was disconnected. You know, when you're connected to the Lord, it sure answers a lot of questions. It sure changes a lot of things about what you should do or how you should do it. When you're hooked to the Lord and you have a persecution on you, you know what to do. You know how to respond, don't you? You know God's good. And God's good all the time. Many of you know it. I faced a guy a few years ago, and a wild man, had a gun stuck, a rifle stuck to my head, gritting his knuckles were white and his teeth were gritting, and he's going to blow my head off, and that's not a pretty picture. He didn't. Not once. He put it down and started trying to beat me with his fist. He tried to drag me out of my truck. And you know, I just sat there. And he jerked, and everything he could do, he could not move me. I don't feel that immovable by myself. But I acted right. I acted right. And at the end, I said to him that I'd be praying for him. Now, I'll be honest with you. I fought a lot of battles over that, long nights and humiliation and the violation that I felt and those kind of things. But I'm not a cut flower in a vase. I got the victory on that one. I would still do whatever I could for that man to see his salvation. That's the way I feel about it. And that's what we got to come to. I'm going to tell you, I believe that there's a place there where the relationships gets to be a wielding situation, and that's where the biggest hurts are demonstrated. That's where I can't get victory over a hurt. I can't forgive. I can't come to the fruit that I ought to be able to. I can't stand up and be what I should be. I can't take the responsibility that I should take. I once was more than that. But there's this withering. Lord, help our desire tonight. I want to connect this with just one scripture that come to mind. It's over in 2 Samuel, I think it is. To illustrate David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote the songs. He wrote Psalms. He was a young man that was faithful to God. He killed a lion and a bear. He done the works of the Lord, didn't he? He fought the battles. He won the battles. Saul killed his thousands, and David killed his 10,000s. He was honored. He was lifted up. God was with him. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramoth. But David, this is about David. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David, where's your passion? You know what you was called for? You're a warrior. God called you to fight battles. God called you to put you in a certain place. It's your time to be there. David, what's happening to you? What's happening to you? It didn't stop. It wouldn't be much story if the story was only that David tarried at Jerusalem, would it? It wouldn't be much story about it at all. You would have to wonder why it even said it if it just stopped right there. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it come to pass. Now, here we go. David, are you hooked? Are you hooked? Sounded to me like David was getting unhooked. I say David was still king, and I think if you went to him, he could have given you counsels and sung you a song. And he probably looked like he looked yesterday. And he could have told you how you can have faith to take a giant down. He could probably preach you a good sermon about how to trust in God and how many times God, and God done it before, he'll do it again. And giants will fall at your feet, Brother Ivan, if you committed to God. I think he could have told all that. But he was tarrying. Was David a cut flower at this point? I'm talking about a state of being, a state of spiritual being. Was he a cut flower? He was alive, but was he in what kind of place was he in? I want to leave you with this tonight. You might be in a state like that, but God is able to graft you back. God is able to hook you back to the root. God is able to do that even if you dry all the way up. God can still put life in those dry bones. God can still, this is the great gospel message today. But as an individual and as the church collective, I don't want to see the times come on to where we're just a flower in a vase. It's got to be more than that. We got to be connected and still believing in the purpose that we were designed for. We're designed for a purpose. We are the ambassadors of Christ. That's in this time, we're the ambassadors of Christ. Is that my mission for the ones I run into, to be an ambassador? Or can I so go through this life ignoring that? I go to the Dollar General, I go to the grocery store, I go to that, I meet this one, I meet that one. Do I so avoid my mission? Lord, help us. I use Brother Jim White a lot, so I'm going to use him again. He was an inspiration to me. He was an old fellow that the Lord saved in a mighty way and changed his life so dramatically that he wanted to tell people about it. He had his ups, he had his down, he had his hard time. But when he was an old man, he worked on that train. He put a pack full of tracks in his up pocket right there so you could see the label, so you could read it if you're curious. And he went around, and we went up on the train. He got me and Linda tickets one time. We went up on the train up on the mountain, and I was just amazed. Me and her was kind of enjoying stuff and like that. And I turned around and looked, and Brother Jim had hold of these people's hands, and they was a group, and he had them there, and they was there praying together right on the train with everybody. They're praying together. The woman had cancer, so I think she had something, and she started. They opened up to him, and he was in a bad place, and we'll pray for you. And I'm going to be minister to those old people right there on the train. I'm telling you, Brother Jim wasn't no cut flower. Brother Jim was fulfilling the mission of what the original mission was. And that's the whole meaning of this. There is a mission. It's the salvation, folks. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity is real. We're here about a short time. Jesus came for this, and this is what he has an ambassador for. Lord, help us. Here it is before us. What we're supposed to be. Maybe the flower fade. But what's supposed to be left there is a nice, juicy fruit. And there's a seed in there. And thus it goes on. And that's what we're supposed to be. And I think about these stories like of David. David ended up getting connected back. I believe that. And you can read the 51st Psalm of how he repented of everything, that all of that, and he done it genuinely and real. But he had a space of time there that I'm going to tell you, he withered right away and never full. He was not fulfilling God's mission on this world. He was fulfilling the devil's mission on this world. He had so went from a man of God to an unrighteous, filthy man. And God redeemed him. And he was brought back and hooked back up. Maybe you have to take this one home. But I'm going to leave you with the question. And I'll say it for me. Am I just a flower in a vase? Do I show all of what the Lord has done for me and the mission and all that he does? And I stand there as an example of that in the way I dress, the way I speak, and all of those things. And have no real connection to give me fruit for what God really wanted me to do at the end of my life. Lord, help. You pray for me.